Today on Real Radio.
The watchman was to take the trumpet and blow the horn and warn the city. And God says if the city would not take shelter by reason of the blowing of your trumpet, and that invading army came against them and destroyed the city, God said, Ezekiel, your hands are free from their blood because you warned them and they didn't choose to take cover. I don't require their blood at your hands. But if you do not blow the trumpet when you see destruction coming and the people perish, Ezekiel, I will hold you personally responsible. That's exactly what Paul is saying right here. Isn't that serious?
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands. Let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his verse-by-verse series through the book of Acts, and we're in a mini-series called The Apostles' Farewell Address. Once Saul became Paul. This New Testament narrative, commonly called Acts, focuses quite a bit on his post-conversion ministry. And this series within a series looks at chapter 20, wherein we read of his announcement of returning to Jerusalem, where things are quite volatile. Let's continue. Here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
And I have noticed that if we are going to be willing to share Jesus Christ, if we are going to be people who are excited about seeing the Word of God go out and seeing things through the eternal perspective, we will be people who will evangelize because Christ is real to us and heaven is real to us and hell is real. And listen, I got to tell you right now, we will fossilize as a church if we don't believe what Jesus Christ has to say. We'll fossilize because, listen, I have found out in my life that when I'm excited about going to heaven, when I can't wait, when I'm thinking about God, you know what happens in your life and mine? We're a little bit contagious. We wind up telling people, hey, man, you going to heaven? I don't know. What about it? Most people you bring it up to, hey, if you died today, would you go to heaven? They kind of like freak out. Tell them, you know, listen, Jesus Christ died on the cross. You can go to heaven, pal. You can come to faith in Christ right now. Listen, the thing is, if you believe that there's a heaven and a hell and we're coming to a point in time that day, so to speak, you will be excited about telling people. But look, if you're not excited about telling people, then I want to ask you this question. Are you really sure you're going there yourself? Well, listen, when you're excited about heaven, you can't wait to tell people about it because it's a reality in your life. That will fuel your evangelism. We need to see that there's an eternity that is coming. The third thing that we need to see in verse 26 is that we not only should have a clear conscience like Paul had, and we should not only be doing these things about seeing eternal perspectives and being willing to share, but the third thing is that we need to be innocent of the outcome. This is powerful. Whatever is at stake here, people, Paul is saying, I'm innocent of the outcome, suggesting that the outcome could be unfavorable for some people. He says, I'm innocent of the blood of all men. The word innocent means to be cleared of the task or to complete the work. We need to ask this question right now. How on earth do we become literally innocent of the blood of all men? Listen, Paul said it. Can you say it? Can I say it? Can we say it as a church? And you might be saying this morning, well, Jack, that doesn't apply to me. It does apply to you. Now, if you're not a Christian this morning, it doesn't apply to you. But to those of us who are believers today, we're to be telling the world about Christ, telling the world about Christ in such a way that they bring about a response in their heart. But how do we answer this question? What does it mean to be innocent of the blood? Two things. Jot them down if you would. First of all, we need to see the church the way Jesus sees the church. That's how we first of all become innocent of the blood of all men. We need to see the church like he sees it. Matthew 28, verses 18 through 19 tells us that Jesus Christ has given us all authority to proclaim the gospel around the world. That is a church thing. That's the church thing to do. World evangelism. That's what we do. That's what we do going to Russia. That's what we do going down the street. All of us get together. Some of you are praying. Some of you are going. Some of you are funding people to go. We all get together. That's the church thing to do. Well, the second thing is how we answer this question, how do we become innocent of the blood of all men, is not only the corporate sense in the body of Christ, the church, but also in the individual sense. We need to see the world the way Jesus sees it. In 2 Timothy 4:5, the scripture says, "You be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, and do the work of an evangelist." Notice it's not an evangelist that we are, but we are to do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry, he says. That's our thing to do. Now, listen to this. If you're shy or not sure or you're new to the Lord and you don't know the gospel and how you could present it, do us a favor and yourself a favor. Do you know anyone? Does anybody know anybody who's not saved yet going to heaven? Raise your hand. You ought to give us their address. Now, they might be sitting next to you and you brought them today, so you might want to write someone else's address down. But if you don't want to go share with them, that's okay. Time will come for you to do that. But in the meantime, why don't you give us their address? And we'll go share the good news with them. Why? Well, we have an agenda. I know we've always said for the last several years of this church's existence that we don't have an agenda. We do have an agenda. Our agenda is to bring every man, woman, and child, every one of them that we possibly can, into the kingdom to get them to heaven. That's our agenda. And either if we do it corporately as a church in an outreach, or we do it individually as believers. Here's a real quick thing in the meantime. Jot it down. I'm going to give you four things about how to bring the gospel to someone in your life. We need to take advantage of the opportunities. The first thing is you got to meet people. Look around this place. Chances are you turned around before we started the service and you saw people that you don't know. You've never met them before. Now, I'm going to ask those of you who call this church, your home fellowship. From now on, I want you to start greeting people you don't know. The ones that you do know, you know, you guys pretty much sit in the same spot pretty much most of the week. Don't you get tired of greeting the same guy over and over again? Look, he already knows you love him. Start targeting people you don't know. Go over there, hey, nice to meet you. My name's Jack. I'm glad that you're here. Are you new? Oh, we're visiting. Oh, great, nice to meet you. At home, your neighbors, at the job. We'll never get the gospel to them unless we meet them. We got to meet them. So meet them. Hi, my name's Billy Bop. I just got hired here today. Meet them. Can we do this? Can all of us do this? Can we meet people? You know, some of you are like, oh, no, I'm not into meeting people. Remember, heaven, you're going there. They may not be going. Meet them. The next thing that we need to do is love them. Oh, now, wait a minute, Jack. I don't know. I just met them. How can I love them? I'm asking you to do it this way. You not only meet them, but you love them, and this is what I'm talking about. Guys, we can all get into this. This is not some little cuddly, warm, and fuzzy thing. I'm talking about when you're mowing your lawn, well, go ahead and jump your property line and mow his lawn too. Trash cans are out. You know, the trash truck comes by and throws your cans all over the street. Put them up. Put yours away and put his away. That guy's going to think you're nuts. He's got to come and say, what are you doing? I mean, you mowed my lawn, you took my trash cans. Well, what is with you? Well, that's point three. Tell him. Well, you know, I just thought I'd do it. Our pastor was talking about this thing in the study, and, you know, I it seems kind of crazy to me, too, but he said for us to go home and do this, and, you know, and I'm doing it because I'm a Christian. Oh, you're a Christian, huh? Yeah. Oh, well, okay. Now watch this. You've met him. What was number two? What is it? Love him. Tell them and then show them. Show them is, it could be a month, could be a year, could be 10 years. While you're loving this guy, changing his tire, hey, John, how are you? Whatever it is, listen, you're going to drive him absolutely nuts. You've told him the gospel. Make sure you tell him the gospel, okay? Not some story. Tell them Jesus. What is the gospel? 1 Corinthians 15. You ever have a doubt? 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 3. Paul gives you the gospel there that Jesus Christ came, he died for our sins, he was buried, and he rose again from the dead, and he's coming back. Now that took about 7-8 seconds. We got to tell them. Didn't you show them? The fourth thing is show them by a life that backs up the witness. You've told them about Christ, now live like it. For crying out loud, who in the world wants to listen to somebody talk about God and they've got double standards? Nobody respects anybody like that. Dwight L. Moody, on October 8, 1871, Dwight L. Moody was preaching a message in Chicago, and the Holy Spirit had told him, get to the point, give these people an altar call. Dwight L. Moody, in his own words, said that time was running late. He saw ushers begin to look at their watches. People began to get antsy. Moody looked at his own pocket watch and realized and determined it was too late to keep going. He ended the message without an altar call. And on that night, some cow knocked over a lantern and burnt down Chicago. And Dwight L. Moody said that he would never preach a message again publicly without giving an altar call, because many people were affected by that terrible fire. Serious stuff. Get to the point. They need Jesus Christ. You're going to leave this place today and you're going to heaven. There may be people around you, certainly people out there who are not. The Bible says these things have been written that you may know that you have eternal life. You can know today. But can you imagine? Let's get to the point. Can you imagine you come home 2 o'clock in the morning, pull up, total dark, and your neighbor's house is glowing, and there's smoke coming out of the windows, and it's on fire? What do you do? Oh, gosh, it's 2 o'clock in the morning. I could wake them up. I don't want to be rude. But their house is on fire. Excuse me, fire, fire. Oh, come on. You don't care what time of the day it is. Hey, man, fire! Why? Because they could die. And there's no second chance. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 20, around verse 27, I think it is, 28, 27. It's appointed unto every man once to die and then the judgment. There's no second chance after death. That's what Hebrews 9, 27 is all about. We must make our decision now. Well, we have the volition and the will. Jesus talks to us in this life of not coming to faith in him. He says if in this life we denounce him or not confess him, he said in eternity I'll have to deny and not confess you before my Father which is in heaven. But Paul says he's free. He's clear of the blood of all men. Real quickly, this is taken from Ezekiel chapter 3 and chapter 33 of Ezekiel, where God called Ezekiel to establish watchmen on the walls of the city. And if the watchmen saw an enemy coming with swords, the watchman was to take the trumpet and blow the horn and warn the city. And God says if the city would not take shelter by reason of the blowing of your trumpet, and that invading army came against them and destroyed the city, God said, Ezekiel, your hands are free from their blood because you warned them and they didn't choose to take cover. I don't require their blood at your hands. But if you do not blow the trumpet when you see destruction coming and the people perish, Ezekiel, I will hold you personally responsible. That's exactly what Paul is saying right here. Isn't that serious? I'm just talking to Christians this morning. Isn't that serious? We need to be telling people. And so Paul says in his second point, verse 27, as he's completing his missionary journey, he has a clear conscience toward all men, verse 26, and he's been faithful to the biblical message, and there's only really one point here that we need to touch on in verse 27, and that is we need to be faithful to preach a biblical message. We need to give them the gospel and the doctrines of the faith. How do we do this? Being careful to present the truth. Paul says in verse 27 right here, he says, that I have not shunned to declare to you. The word shunned is the same word in verse 20 that we read last week about keeping back. He didn't hold anything back. He let all the chips fly. In other words, he wasn't out to make friends per se. He was out to get people into heaven. And the word also says, implies that we could, that he didn't yield to his cowardice that we're all often tempted by. I got to tell you, I met with a lady. I'm not quite sure how old she is. Maybe a late 50s or early 60s. I'm not sure. But this week, and you know, your emotions want to say something else. And I knew I didn't have much time there. I was coming from the Bible college on my way home, stopped at this lady's house for a home visitation, and went through the Word. Now, I didn't open up the Bible and preach. I just went through the things that are necessary to cover the gospel, went through that, and came to the end of it, and I asked her, would you like to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? She started crying. And in 20 minutes, the woman had entered eternity. I mean, she didn't die on me. I meant she made an eternal decision. And the New Believers Ministry now is going to follow up on that and making a decision for Christ. That's what you have to do. But my emotions wanted to kind of make it nice. You know, here's somebody, and I'm thinking about my mother. I've got thoughts in my mind, and I'm thinking, well, you know, if I, this is a sweet lady. If I say, ma'am, the Bible says that you are a wretched, rotten, hell-bound sinner. That may not go over all that well. And I quoted Romans 3:23, and I told her, you know, we've all sinned. You've sinned. Oh, yes, yes. She could identify with that. Jesus has come to save you. Freedom. Paul didn't shun. He didn't keep back. And what did he do? He gave the whole counsel of God. He gave the Bible cover to cover. And in this context, it would have been the Old Testament. He showed them the Old Testament and led them to Christ. Very, very powerful, no doubt. Wish we had that message on tape, how he preached. It'd be great. And then the third and final point to all of this is found in verse 28. Paul is completing his missionary journey by having a clear conscience toward all men and being faithful to present a biblical message, also by being mindful of the church of God. By being mindful of the church of God. And there's four things that we need to see here, and then we'll be done. Verse 28 teaches us where our mission should actually first take place. It is the church. Look what it says in verse 28. He says, warning us to take heed to yourselves first. This is serious. When he says take heed to yourselves, he is talking, first of all, to the ministers that he's gathered around. He says, listen, first of all, you guys, you pastors, and I want to warn you right now, if you attend Calvary Chapel, we recognize the government of God and we think it's holy and we obey that. And we understand, as we're in the book of Hebrews on Wednesday night, concerning God's government. But I want you to know that you cannot come to this church. I am praying for you if you are coming to this church and you're thinking that you can be a spectator Christian, that you're just going to hide back there in the crowd. Though I may not know your name, I'm saying to the Lord, Lord, expose them. Put a fire in their heart. Fill them up with your Spirit. Drive them out of this place day and night to experience the Word and the power of it all. No spectator Christianity. Doesn't work. We wind up growing the most when we're giving out the most. Interesting. Abraham, a man who loved God. Abraham took heed to himself. When you read about Abraham's life, he came out of Ur of the Chaldees, trippy place, Ur of the Chaldees. They worshiped the moon god there. And of course, Abraham, the first Jew, was first a Gentile. He was a Gentile. He came out of Ur of the Chaldees, pagan worship, and he met God. God called him out and he met him. And the first thing Abraham does is he begins to build altars in his life. He builds an altar, makes it a sacrifice to God. Abraham was a worshipful man. He had a personal life with God. He took heed to himself. That's what this word means. worship God privately. He built altars. Worship God. Isaac comes along. Isaac loved living and seeing all that God had done. So Isaac says, yeah, man, I want to keep this going. He didn't build too many altars. You know what Isaac did? He dug wells. Got to keep the ministry going. I'll keep watering it. Rather than being out there and worshiping like Dad, he's saying, yeah, this is a good thing, but I'm going to water it. Didn't build much altars, but he watered a lot. Got away from worship. Got into the mechanics of ministry, so to speak. And then Jacob came along. Jacob says, I'm not into worship. Not much into the maintaining the ministry. I'm into conniving, programs, systems, productions. That's why he wrestles with God in the great theophany, where Jacob is wrestling with the Lord, and the Lord, thank God, touches him and cripples his hip. And it says all the rest of his life, Jacob had to walk with a limp. But God says, I'm changing your name from Jacob to Israel, governed by God. And in our lives, if we're not taking heed to ourselves, we'll never be able to take heed to the church. You cannot be more important to me than Jesus Christ. My wife, my family cannot be more important to me than Jesus Christ. Ministry cannot be more important to me than Jesus Christ. You might say, well, Jack, I mean, you're like a pastor. Aren't you in the Word all day? And, you know, you probably hear God talking. And listen, let me tell you something. I'm not always in the Word all day. I mean, I got to struggle to get into it, too, because I'm returning calls and trying to find my quiet time. But you got to have it. And if I miss my quiet time, I have nothing to give you in counsel or in messages. And the same truth goes for you. If you're in the Word, you'll be able to give out to them. If you're taking heed to your own spiritual life privately, you'll be able to give out to others at work or in your family or in church. It's a law of God. Be an Abraham. Then it says, take heed to the body, that is the church. Take heed to yourself first. Get yourself set up in the Word, worshiping the Lord. Then take care of the flock. Jesus in Matthew 24:4 says, take heed. Watch out that no one deceives you. That's Jesus' warning, telling us that false doctrine was going to be coming. And it has. Jesus says, take heed. Watch out. Jesus said again in Luke 11:35, take heed that the light that you have in you is not actually darkness. Don't be a hypocrite. Don't be a religious person. Don't be fake. You could have light in you, but it'd be fake. Come to the light. Jesus said again in Luke 21:8, take heed, for many will come in the end days saying that I am the Messiah or the Christ or the way, and that times will come where it will draw people after them. Jesus said he is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but through him.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called The Apostles' Farewell Address. Now, this is actually a mini-series by that title, starting with a look at Acts chapter 20. Join us again on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio as we continue. Listen, if you're a regular listener to Real Radio, get in touch and let us know. You can certainly write to us, and for the cost of a stamp, you can be among those who correspond and encourage Pastor Jack. Our address? Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Or visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org, and click on the tab that reads Reaction. You may go into great detail if you'd like, or make it short and sweet. If you need to get in touch for any other reason, call us toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.